All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, 2 Timothy 1, and we're going to begin reading verse number 7. And this is a verse that I put at the head of the email that I sent out, the letters that we sent out, and one that I've made prominent in the last couple of weeks in our announcements, and that's this, that verse number 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." I'm glad that the Lord has a will for our lives, and for right now, His will is for us to respond properly through what we're going through. Now, when we talk about fear, I think most every one of us knows what it's like to be afraid. Amen. Most of us have seen the folks that wear the shirts that say "No Fear," or maybe they got it emblazoned on their jacket or on a bumper sticker on their car. And you know, that sounds real courageous, doesn't it? But do you think for one minute that there's really nothing in this world that might cause those folks to display that no fear? Do you think there's nothing that might cause them fear in their lives? Well, listen, I would venture to say that even they are afraid of something, unless they happen to be psychotic or delusional. And there are some of the folks that are out there like that. And God protect us from those people. But we all have things that we're afraid of, even though our fears may not be the same as other people. You know, when somebody's afraid of something, we like to make fun of them being scared in a particular area until they start picking on our area. And then, you know, it's no longer fun anymore. Some folks are afraid of the dark, while some love being in the darkness. Some folks are afraid of storms. And while there are others who go out and chase the storms and try to go toward the tornado instead of getting away from the tornado, some folks are afraid of heights, while others climb mountains or tall things, and they even bungee jump off of them or parachute off of them. Some are afraid of traveling in airplanes, while others are not bothered. Doesn't bother me to fly in an airplane, but listen, I'm not afraid to fly, but I wouldn't jump out of a perfectly good airplane, and there's are folks who would. I don't have any plans on doing any parachuting anytime soon or anytime later. I can assure you of that. Now, listen, I may not have hit your fear, but given enough time, I'm sure that I could. I had a real close friend of mine that during my early teen years, from the time that I was about 10 until in my mid-20s, we were close friends, and we kind of grew apart once we went our separate ways, went off to college, and he's a preacher in the Southern Baptist Convention, or was, and now, you know, I'm a preacher, and you know, we both wound up being preachers, but my friend was deathly afraid of spiders. And I'm not particularly fond of spiders myself. I don't want one on me, and if I see one, he's likely to die at my hand or my foot, more likely. But my friend was deathly afraid of spiders. And I remember one time I went to visit him while he was in college in Macon, Georgia. He was going to Mercer University. And as we were talking in his apartment, he spotted a spider somewhere in the room and had a conniption fit. I think you know what a conniption fit is, right? He yelled and jumped and ran to his bathroom cupboard and came back with a can of spider kill. I didn't even know they made such a thing. But a can of spider kill. And when he returned, the spider had disappeared. Well, you can just guess what happened. I laughed at him like a good friend normally would do. And I finally had to try to help him find the spider, or else we weren't going to get any sleep that night. And as I recall, And yet he refused to go to sleep unless we located the spider and had killed the spider. It wound up being a long night, but we did eventually get the spider. Now, we might laugh at that story and think it's ridiculous for someone to have that kind of fear of spiders, but when we begin to talk about your fears or my fears, that's a different story entirely. I'm the same way about snakes. People talk about there being good snakes and bad snakes. I see it posted a lot of times. Somebody will post a picture of a snake and say, "You know, this. I saw we have this snake out in our garage. You know, well, what should I do?" And somebody says, "Oh, well, that's a good snake. Don't mess with him. He'll eat the bad snakes." And I'm only afraid of three kinds of snakes. That is live ones, dead ones, and play ones. Okay, don't mess around with me with snakes. That's I just don't like them. If I see a live snake, he needs to get away from me in order to keep from being a dead snake. Now, I remember one time as my wife and I had gotten back from Bible college in Chattanooga. We were living on my dad's property, and a trailer set up in the very back end of his property, and we had a wood burning stove that heated that mobile home that we lived in. And so when you have a wood burning stove, you got to have a pile of wood, right? And so I remember one time that we had about a 6-foot timber rattler come out of that wood pile, and I'll just tell you the truth, I was shaking so bad that I missed him with my first shot with a 12-gauge shotgun. And you might think, well, that's really funny. How in the world can you miss something with a 12-gauge shotgun? Well, I did. But I got him with the second shot. If he didn't die of fright with the first shot, I certainly got him with the second. But, you know, many of us fear some things that we can see or sense. However, there are many hidden fears that can paralyze us too. Think about a fear of failure. It causes many people to never start or try anything that is not completely safe. A fear of rejection makes us afraid to do anything that could draw criticism or give someone a chance to laugh at us. We don't like being laughed at, do we? We just really don't. And right now there are those in the media and many government officials who are trying to instill fear regarding this coronavirus epidemic. This is something that's new to us. We've never gone through anything like this before in our entire lives, and I hope we never have to go through it again. I mean, this is making for a difficult year, no doubt. Somebody said these last 2 weeks have been the longest year of my life. And I kind of think I know what they're talking about that. But listen, we could go on and on talking about fears and phobias. Nevertheless, in the course of naming these fears, we'd probably find that all of them fall into two kinds of fear. There's a fear that can be good or beneficial. You know, think about there's a fear that keeps us from driving 120 miles per hour, you know, or picking up a rattlesnake, or jumping off the side of a building, or doing other foolish things that you can think of. And when somebody acts in such a way, and don't pay attention to their fears, a lot of time they'll get hurt or even get killed. Another good or beneficial fear that we ought to have is a healthy fear of God, a healthy fear of God. If we have a healthy fear of God, then that can help alleviate some of our other fears. So there's a fear that can be good or beneficial, but there's a fear that can be bad or harmful also. And this is the spirit of fear that is mentioned here in this particular passage. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. You know, that's the kind of fear that paralyzes us and keeps us from doing things that we could and maybe even should be doing. And perhaps today someone's listening that has a fear that they need to overcome. This passage gives us insight on how to conquer or overcome our fears, and that's what the message is today, overcoming fears. First thing I want you to see out of this passage is that we need to understand that Satan is a master at using our fears against us. Satan is a master at using our fears against us. Satan wants us to fear anything and everything but God. If we're not careful, Satan can keep us from being effective in our walk with the Lord by using the spirit of fear against us. I mean, listen, Satan loves to use the spirit of fear against those who are lost. He really does. He does this to keep them from getting saved. He has them fearing everything but God and hell. Satan loves to use the spirit of fear against believers too. He uses fear to make us miserable. Worry and fear can paralyze our lives and make our lives miserable. I mean, this coronavirus epidemic right now has a lot of folks in a tizzy. You know what in a tizzy is, right? You've maybe heard folks described as being a worry wart. You may know some worry warts. You may be one yourself. If you've ever met a worry wart, you know that they're miserable. Seems like all the time. I've never met a worry wart who wasn't miserable. Satan loves to use fear to make us ineffective. You know, some believers do not share their faith with others because of fear. They fear what others are going to think about them. They fear turning other people off. They fear messing up. They probably fear that, you know, the person that they're talking to is not going to listen to them anyway. They come up with all kinds of excuses of why not to share their faith. And Satan loves that. He doesn't want us to share our faith. He doesn't want us to share what Christ has done for us. He doesn't want us to share the good news of the gospel. He doesn't want us to share about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that was there for all who believe to receive forgiveness of their sins and to have eternal life in heaven. These are some of the common fears that Satan uses to make us ineffective as witnesses of Christ. Some believers do not get involved in service for God because of fear. It's expressed in comments like, I could never teach a Sunday school class, or I could never sing a special in church, or I could never be a pastor or a missionary. You know, fear can keep us from serving God, and all of us should be serving God in some capacity. I know when God called me to preach, the idea of standing up before people and preaching was just anathema to me. I mean, I hated getting up and giving speeches. I mean, if you talk about number one fear that I had as a kid growing up, it was, don't ask me in school to give a book report, an oral book report, or a speech of any kind. Standing before people and giving speeches, and standing before people and giving a report. That was one of my main fears. But God helped me to get over that fear when He called me by His grace to be a preacher of the gospel. He's the one that allows me to be able to do this. I come before you this morning still. Are you comfortable in the pulpit? Well, only by the grace of God. And I only do this. Sometimes I think about what I do for the Lord. You know, preaching. I preach three messages a week and teach another. And I think about that, and it's like, man, that's just not me. You know, I don't have the ability to do that, and it's not my ability. It's God's ability that He gives, and I'm glad that I surrendered when He called me to preach. I'm glad that I surrendered and didn't say, well, you know, God could never use me because I can't. I can't speak, because the Lord made our mouth, just like He told Moses there in the book of Exodus, who made man's mouth. And God made Moses' mouth. He wanted to say that he couldn't do what the Lord was calling him to do because his speech wasn't right. Well, some of you are in the same boat with me. You know, you say, well, I'm not good at speaking before people. I'm not good at speaking to people. I'm not good at this or that. Listen, fear can keep us from serving God, and it keep us from all of it. Keep all of us. From doing what the Lord would have us to do. Could I tell you that all of us should be serving God in some capacity? What is it that God wants you to do that you've been saying no to God? I mean, He put it on your heart, hey, I want you to do this. And you said no to Him because of your inability. Listen, don't lean upon your ability. Lean upon His ability. And all, only ability that the Lord wants from you is availability. Availability. If you'll make yourself available to Him, He can become your ability in the things that He calls you to do. Listen, Satan has a variety of methods for using fear. Sometimes he uses our past sins. I mean, he just loves to throw up to us what we have done in the past and to say, you know, God can never use you because look at what you did then. So you see that big sin that you sinned? He'll use our past sins. Sometimes he uses the possibilities of the future. He'll say, well, what if so-and-so happens? Well, what if it does? You know, if God has called you and God wants you to do something, He can give you the grace, He can give you the ability, and He can be with you as you go forth and you do what He called you to do. And don't let Satan get your heart full of fear. Sometimes Satan uses the potential of failure. Listen, we're all going to fail. I mean, there's times when I get up in the pulpit and I get out of the pulpit, go home, and I think, but, you know, I really laid an egg on that one. I mean, sometimes we have failure. But listen, if I allowed failure to keep me from doing what God called me to do, that would be wrong. You know, God wants me to say, okay, well, let's get it right next time. Let's get it better the next time. And let's be more dependent upon the Lord this time. And so sometimes Satan uses the potential of failure, and the potential of failure is always going to be there with us. We ought not to be scared of failing because we have one that does not fail us, and that is the Lord. Sometimes Satan uses certainty of scorn or criticism. You know, I had to make some decisions this past week for the benefit of our church. I made these decisions with you in mind, with our community in mind, with our witness in mind, and with whichever side that you were on, whether you think, I know there's probably some that thought, well, we shouldn't shut the doors to the church, we ought to continue to be meeting. Or some of you are on the other end of the spectrum, well, we didn't shut the doors soon enough. And we had the revival this past week. We finished the meeting Thursday night. We did practice social distancing, and at that time we didn't have the amount of people here that what they were saying. They were saying keep your crowds under 50, and we were under 50. I know people still have problems. Some of you may not have made it to the service because of your fear of the coronavirus, and I understand that. I mean, I'm not going to be critical of you for that. I wouldn't want you to be here fearful of contracting that. You could have been a hindrance to the service. I just encourage you to go online if you got the ability and listen to the revival messages. God can still use those messages, and we have posted them on our sermon audio website. I encourage you to listen to the services by Evangelist Harper. My brother did a great job preaching to us this week. But, you know, we're talking about scorn or criticism. I've heard both sides of it, okay? And I know that some preachers that are looking at this, if they view this online, they're going to think I'm a wimp or think I'm, you know, or I'm wrong in taking and suspending the service for 2 weeks. And others are going to have beat me at it. Some have suspended the services either last week or the week before, even some of them have. But anyway, I don't try to listen to what people have to say. I want to listen to what the Lord has to say. What does the Lord want us to do? And I've been used to taking scorn and criticism the whole time in the ministry. This is not the last time. This is not the first time. It's not the last time that I'm going to face scorn or criticism for a decision that I've made. But nevertheless, I will stand before God and give an account of what I've done, as you will. And you will also give an account of your criticisms. If you are full of scorn and criticism, understand that you're going to give account one day of that. Now, Satan is a master, as we said, at using our fears against us to stop us He wants to stop us. He wants to bind us. You know, we've been freed in Christ. The gospel frees us. But he wants to bind us. He wants to stop us, bind us. He wants to rob us of God's best for us. Listen to me. If we are controlled and or held back by our fears, our verse tells us here that it is not God that has given us that spirit of fear. Look at the verse again. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear, where does it come from? Well, I believe it comes from sin and Satan. And I say that from where you find fear first mentioned in the Bible. Do you know where fear is first mentioned and what the context of it is? Well, turn with me to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, and we will see this. It's in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve have just sinned, and they've just partaken of the fruit the Lord told them not to partake of. And in Genesis 3, in verse number 7, right after they ate, it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." You get that? I was afraid. There's the first mention of fear. I was afraid. We need to understand that Satan is a master at using our fears against us. He used it against Adam and Eve, and he continues to use it. He used it throughout the Bible, continues to use it even in our day and time. Second thing we need to recognize, that we need to understand and recognize, that God has given us three gifts for conquering our fears. First of all, we see in our passage there in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear," but here's what he has given us, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I want us to take a look at these three things. We need to understand that God has given us three gifts for conquering our fears. God has given us the gift of power. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And we see the Apostle Paul speaking here to the church at Philippi. And here in Philippians chapter number 4, and notice verse number 6. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." See, prayer is the key to being anxiety-free. That way, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. And don't be a worrywart. But in everything by prayer. And you know, we need to be praying a lot during this time. If your heart's full of fear, go to the Lord in prayer. Pray. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And he's given us a gift of power here. Notice on the, you know, we're tempted to focus on the wrong things. You have our minds thinking about the wrong things. Look at verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Listen, fear and peace not going to be in the same heart. Just not. And you know, if you think upon the right things, I know we're tempted to take a look at the news reports, and boy, it's really gloomy when they begin talking about what this coronavirus can do and what it is doing and what it might do. And if you got the news on 24/7, and I know we need to keep abreast of what's going on, but there comes a point where they're just repeating themselves, and all of that repetition of the fear is going to stir your heart to fear. And if you think upon the right things, get in the Word of God. the things that are true, honest, just, lovely, pure, good report, virtue, praise, those things. You know, keep your mind on those things. Think about the great God that we serve. Though that will help ease your anxiety. Now, let's read on. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." The Apostle Paul had a lot of things, positive and negative, come into his life. And whatever state he found himself in, he knew that God was in control. And notice what he says here. He says in verse 12, he says, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." He says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Where does the power come from? Well, power came from Christ. It came from the gospel of Christ having worked in his heart. Listen, you know, we're saved. Those of us that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved, born again. Nothing can take that away from us. Amen. Ephesians 6:10, Paul told the Ephesus Christians, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We're told it's not about us standing in our own power, but in the power of Christ. God gives us the power for salvation. I mean, he's the one that gave us the ability to be saved. Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." That word power there is where do we get dynamite from? And to the power of God and to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And listen, you believed on the Lord, power of God saved you. It brought you from darkness to light. It brought you from the realm of Satan into the realm of God. It brought you from bondage to freedom. Many things there that he gave you power. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." God not only gives us the power for salvation, but Jesus gives us the power for witnessing. Listen to the words of Jesus there as he's the resurrected Lord and he's given his disciples a last minute briefing before he ascends into heaven. And Jesus came unto them in Matthew 28:18-20, and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You know, a lot of folks are looking at this thing, the world's coming to an end. Listen, Jesus is about to come back, I believe. I don't know. Could be a lot longer. But this could be the precursor to what's going to be happening in the tribulation period, where men's hearts are going to be failing them for seeing the things that come on the scene. And we may be seeing a precursor to that. But listen, I'm listening for a shout. Amen. But Jesus gives the power for witnessing right now, and he wants us to witness. He says, "I'm with you always." Is he with us during this coronavirus outbreak? Most certainly is. Is he there with you where you're having to hunker down? Yes. Yet the Lord, he's not left us. He's not forsaken us. He loves us. He has our best interest at hand. And when he's done with us here, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. The worst that this thing can do is take our life, physical life, but it can't really take our life because Jesus is our life. And he's our life for witnessing. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." Listen, he not only gives us salvation, he's the one that gives us power to witness. He's the one that gives us the ability to share in the power of the Holy Ghost what Christ has done for us and what he can do for others. Well, also the Holy Spirit gives us power for hope. Romans 15:13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We abound, that you may abound in hope, and we abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So listen, when you got saved, Holy Spirit came in. Holy Spirit teaches us the Word of God. As we get in the book, He uses that to give us what we need, and we can abound in hope in what we're experiencing right now through that Holy Spirit that lives within us if we'll get in the book. If we will allow the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God, not only that we know already, and I know I'm touching my face, okay, but my nose itches, so I'm going to scratch it. But I've washed my hands, all right. And so, anyway, back to the message here. Bound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what we're to do. And I trust that rather than abounding in fear, that you will abound in hope. Listen, Jesus is our hope. And we hope in Him. Amen. He gives us power for stability. Romans 16:25. Now unto Him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. You know, my life is established. And I trust that your life is established. Because, you know, God gives us a firm foundation. He has the power to establish us by the gospel. You think about what Jesus has done for us, the greatness of what He's done. That established our life. I mean, the world is full of fear. They're full of wondering what in the world's going to go on. Well, we don't know what's going tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. Those of us that are saved, we can trust the Lord. We trust Him for salvation. We can trust the Lord through this. And even if we contract the virus, and even if we become some that are succumbed to the virus, the Lord has a will in that. Maybe it's the witness of the healthcare workers that will be tending to us. They're full of fear right now. They're doctors and nurses don't have the equipment and the supplies that they need in order to combat this virus, and they're fearful for their families, and they're fearful for themselves. And not only should we be praying for our leaders, but we ought to be praying for the healthcare workers and those that are on the first and front lines of the defense of this, the first responders. To trust that you will, in your life, though, help be a establishing presence because of having been established in your life. The word established means to set fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction or to confirm. You know, our faith should be steadfast toward the Lord and what the Lord would have for us. What does the Lord want you to do during this? I can tell you that through Scripture, we are to be, obey those that have the authority over us. This is not something that they're trying to shut churches down with. I know people have said, well, this is just a guise to shut us down. Well, I beg to differ with you. This is really something what they are trying to do is keep this virus from spreading. They're trying to minimize the number of exposures that we are being exposed to, and quite frankly, we are to be good citizens, and we're trying to be good citizens through this. We don't need the community looking at us and saying, "Well, those folks down Central Baptist Church don't care." If they cared, they wouldn't be assembling down there and exposing themselves to whatever germs that they got one to another through all this, the coronavirus. And they're not listening to the leaders of our nation. Listen, there comes a time when you take a stand and say, listen, we're not going to do what the government tells us to do. If they were telling us, listen, don't preach the gospel anymore. If they were saying, you know, just shut it down, don't preach the gospel anymore. Well, that's the time that we say, look, we obey God rather than men. But part of being obedient to the Lord is being obedient to those that He's placed over us. And the powers that be that He has given us, as long as they're not violating not causing us to violate God's, what God would have us to do, and they're trying to do a good work, and this is a good work, I think, trying to minimize this virus, we should abide by what they say. How long is this going to take place? Well, I don't know. We've set a minimum time of, say, you know, the first Sunday in April would be when we come back together. That may change. I hope not. I hope that this thing will settle down and we'll be able to get back together and meet together and won't have to be doing these recording sessions. But until then, listen, have your life established in the Lord. The Lord establishes our life. He's the one that gives us power for stability. And turn your face toward Him. Look to Him and let Him be your guide. And let Him be your hope. Christ gives us power for enduring trials. And this is a trial. No doubt, this is a trial. One of many trials that we will face in our lifetime. This is a pretty big one, probably. But Christ gives us power for enduring trials. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, when the Lord told him that he wasn't going to heal him of the infirmity of flesh that he had, and this is what the Lord said. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, Paul's response to that was, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Whatever comes in your life through this, whatever comes in your life through whatever comes in life, have the power of Christ upon you, your life, such that you're glorifying Him in and through your life, whether in good times or whether in bad times. Whether you can be, as Paul said, you know, he said, whether you're abased or whether you're abounding there, we need to do what we do through the power of Christ. We see also that Almighty God gives us power for whatever we need. And, you know, there's a lot of us would look at this and I don't know what your need is this morning. I can't know your heart, but I know God understands your heart. And whatever your need is today, take Ephesians 3:20 to heart. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think. Listen, that's a wonderful thing. If we're trusting in the Lord, if we're drawing from the Lord, if we're relying on the Lord and believing in the one who has the power, and He is the ultimate power. He will give us the power that we need. He'll give us power to make it through this. I know it's difficult not being able to come together as God's church. I mean, just part of us. I mean, church has been a part of my life the whole time growing up. I was brought home from the hospital, and the first Sunday I was in church. I mean, I didn't know it. But I've never known anything but being in church. And I thank God for godly parents that saw that we were there whenever the doors were open. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we were there. And growing up, we didn't have anything like this. We had nothing that would shut us down other than I think one time we may have had an ice storm in southeast Georgia. I don't even remember much about it, but I do remember we were one of the only ones that had gas in our home at that time, and everybody was congregating in our house trying to get warm through the stove. We had a gas stove and used it to heat the house because there was no electricity going on. And I don't think we went to church during that time, but it wasn't because of a lack of desire. I love God's people. I love our church. I love you folks. And we need to draw from the Lord, though. We need to look to Him during this time. And as I'm looking to Him, I pray that you'll look to Him, because Almighty God gives us power for whatever we need in our lives. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So God has given us the gift of power. Secondly, God has given us the gift of love. At first, it may not seem that love could be effective in conquering fear. Let's think about this. You know, the Apostle John said in 1 John 4:18, he said, "There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Here's how this works. Number one, God loving us should conquer our fears. When you get a hold of God has your best interest, and my best interest is His children. He has our best interest at heart. He loves us. When we truly come to know the love of God that He had for us and has for us, it brings a freedom in our lives. Romans 5:8. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful love that is and was. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a wonderful love. God loved the world. He didn't love the sin in the world. He wanted to save the world. He sent His Son into the world so that mankind might have salvation. And through what Christ did on the cross, we do have salvation. Amen. But for those of us that believe, you have to believe. And if you're not believed on the Lord, you need to do that. Listen to Romans 8:31-32. And it's talking to believers. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Listen, God is for us in this. In everything, God is on our side. God is with you, dear child of God, in what is happening in the world today. God is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" And I thank the Lord that He has such a great love for us. And listen, our ability to love comes from His love that loved us first. So God loving us should conquer our fears, and our love for God should conquer our fears. Our love for God. 1 John 4:19, "We love Him because He first loved us." Listen, God loved us first, and when we accept His love for us, God gives us a love for Him. But we must develop that love. You grow in your love for the Lord. The more you come to know Christ, the more you come to love Christ. The more we love God, the more we desire to know Him. Amen? The more we desire to know Him, the more we come to know Him. If you've got the desire to know Him, you're going to be in the book. You're going to be under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. You're going to take in everything you can to learn more of Christ. And you'll have that desire to know Him, and you'll want to come to know Him. So the more we love God, the more we desire to know Him. The more we desire to know Him, the more we come to know Him. And then the more we come to know Him, the greater our vision of God becomes. We begin to see God in His greatness and in His majesty, don't we? We do. Far down the road from the time when I got saved, February 17th, 1971, a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then. I've learned a lot about God. There's more to learn. I still enjoy learning about my Lord. And so, when the more we love God, listen, the less fear we will have. The more that you come to know of God and the more you love Him, the less fear you're going to experience in your life. So the love of God can help relieve our fears. So draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you, as James put it in his book. So God loving us should conquer our fears. Our love for God should conquer our fears. And number three, our love for others should conquer our fears. The more we love others, the less fear we will have. God loves us to overcome our fear for the good of others. Listen, that's His love. we call it agape love. It's the term charity that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, that kind of love. And it's seeking the highest good for another. That's the kind of love that God had for us, that He wants us to have in our lives and that we can have in our lives. We're seeking the highest good for another. And that's one of the reasons why we are not coming together right now. There's a lost and dying community that we need to have a good testimony before, and we're not going to have a good testimony if they see us not abiding by the things that they're being asked to abide by, as far as trying to social distance and not assemble for right now to try to battle this that's going on, this virus. And what caused us to do this? Love. Okay, love for one another. I'd hate to see someone in our congregation develop this virus, have this virus in them through contact either outside or inside of our church, and have our people exposed to it and endanger the flock that God has given me to pastor. I want all of you to be healthy. I want all of you to be saved. And if you do develop it, God's still with you. He's not forsaking you. But He has a purpose for that even in your life. But I think that we need to have this love, this charity, one for another, seeking the highest good that for that other individual, not for ourselves. I'll give you an example of this type of love. We've all seen news stories of how a parent runs back into a raging inferno in their house to rescue their child. That's love, isn't it? The love that a mom or a dad has for that child that would cause them to run into a fire to bring out their child. Or how a soldier might brave a hail of bullets or throw himself on a hand grenade because of friends in his company there, his fellow infantry members, the fellow soldiers. Love for others causes us to do some things we wouldn't otherwise do. Okay? Love for others will cause us to do some things that we wouldn't otherwise do. Love causes us to tell others about Jesus. And if we are not telling folks about Jesus, we need to develop our love. Our love is not what the Lord would have it to be. He wants us to be telling others. Love causes us to teach a Sunday school class whenever the Lord lays on our heart that He wants us to be involved in the ministry. He wants us to take that class that needs to be taken. Love causes us to surrender our lives to become whatever God would have for us, even if that be a preacher or a missionary. Our love for God, love for others, love for a lost and dying world. God has given us the gift of power. He's given us the gift of love. And then lastly, we see God has given us the gift of a sound mind. Most of the time, our harmful fears are the result of wrong thinking. Maybe you've heard somebody call it sometimes stinking thinking. You know, that's pretty good. But listen, something happens when we are saved and begin to trust God. We have been given the mind of Christ. Those of us that are saved have been given the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we," talking about those of us who are saved, "we have the mind of Christ." Jesus told his disciples in John 14, verse 26 and 27, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And then he goes on to say in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, we need the Lord's peace in this. Where does that peace come from? It comes from the Holy Ghost. And what does the Holy Ghost use to give us that peace? It gives us the Word of God. It gives us Jesus saying here, "Peace I leave with you." Listen, you can have His peace today. And I trust that you do have His peace. So we have been given the mind of Christ. Another thing is our mind is continually renewed as we abide in God's Word. Romans 12, verse number 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, in our way of thinking, we may be afraid that we won't make it financially. But if we trust in God and accept His way of thinking, we can be assured that He will take care of us. I mean, that's what He said in His Word. Remember the Lord on the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Luke 12, 28, He told the group He was talking to, He says, "Is then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven? How much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith?" You know, the Lord will clothe us. Amen. If we're afraid of dying, that fear is calmed by knowing where we're going. You know, some of you may be fearful of contracting this virus and dying. But if you got Jesus in your heart, if you have Him, don't be full of fear. Be full of confidence in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Apostle Paul said, "We are confident, and I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." When we think biblically, listen, we have a sound mind. And if we don't have a sound mind in all of this that's happening around us, maybe we're not thinking biblically like we ought to. How would the Lord have you to think in this? When we have a sound mind, fear just doesn't make sense. Fear doesn't make sense to the child of God. We have nothing to fear. We had plenty to fear. Fear of death before we came to know the Lord. But there's no fear in death anymore. There really is nothing. As I said, you know, we're going to go home to be with Him. Listen, conquering and overcoming fear, it's not a matter of self-determination. It's a matter of dependence on God. Who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust the Lord? He's worthy. We can fully trust Him. I trust that you will. It's a matter of belief in His words, His promises, and His gifts to us. He gives a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen. It's a matter of recognizing the devil's attempts at crippling us with fear and God's majestic grace in giving us that power, love, and sound mind. Are you saved? I hope that you are. Has the power of the blood of God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, worked salvation in your life? If not, you're probably living in fear of death. At least you should be. I hope that you have a fear of God, because you're going to stand before Him one day, either as a believer at the judgment seat of Christ or as an unbeliever at the great white throne of judgment. I trust that you'll be standing at the judgment seat of Christ, where our sins are not going to be judged, but certainly our works will be judged there, and we'll be judged and given rewards for what we've done for the Lord, if we've done anything for the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, why not trade the fear that you have of death for God's power, God's love, and a sound mind that comes from God? Now, for those of us that have been saved by God's power, let me ask, are you serving God by that same power? Are you? If not, why not trade your fear for love? Listen, the more you love God, the closer you'll get to Him. And the closer you get to Him, the more you'll see that you can trust Him. And the more you can trust Him, the more you see that you trust Him, and the more that you do trust Him, the less fear that you will have in all these other areas of your life. You shouldn't have fear of death anymore, because you're going to be going home to be with Him. Listen, the more we trust Him, the less fear we will have. Trust Him through all of this. Trade your fear, not only for love, but for power, for God's power, and understand He can empower us to do anything for Him. And trade it for a sound mind, the mind of Christ. When we have His mind, we'll be mindful of the things that He would have us to be mindful of. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this passage of Scripture, where we come to understand that You've not given us a spirit of fear. That spirit of fear that came to Adam and Eve there in Genesis 3, came because of sin and because of Satan. And Lord, see that the spirit of fear comes our way the same way. Satan wants us to fear. Even though he can't have our souls, he wants us to fear. He wants us to not act with a sound mind. And Lord, I just pray that you will give our folks, Lord, what they need to make it through this time. And Lord, just pray that we'll all be sensible, you know, through this. And we pray for your grace and your mercy. And we pray, Lord, that you would have your will and way in our lives. If there's one that does not know you, help them to give us a call. And that we'll walk them through how they can be saved today. And Lord, those that are saved, Lord, may we all be good witnesses through this. May we all present a good testimony of our Lord, that others can see Jesus through us. And Lord, that we will grow in our love for you, that we will grow in our faith as we go through this difficult time. Just have your way in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.